Today is May 26th, 2019, 10:06 a.m. in the morning. I've just finished up a nice long walk this morning and have been listening to the recording I made where back on March 6th of 2019, I got down to really a mustard seed of faith only and had to cry out to God to help me in my unbelief. And I am so thankful for that recording. I'm so thankful for Father's faithfulness to help me in my time of need. And I just took my headphones out and started to pray and give thanks for God. And I realized I wanted to capture the latest with my wife, which is that ever since what happened about probably a week ago, where, in my opinion, she sunk into an even further level of depravity and in the natural, where she said things that I'm not even going to repeat. They're very personal, and it just shows the depth of crisis that she's in. And I told my mom, I said, this is wonderful because this shows me that her religion is not working for her. Her Buddhism / Hinduism / Persicism is not keeping her. She's having a crisis. And I let her go, and I've been kind to her, and we went to the grocery store one time and she reached over and grabbed my hand, but you know, my heart wasn't in it. And I've just kind of let her go that I don't want to, again, I don't want to reconnect to her physically and prolong this, you know, enabling her to stay where she's at. So I've just been being kind, but aloof, and letting her go and checking on her, you know, do you have everything you need? Like I just did this morning. But I've noticed that she's become increasingly quiet over the last, you know, few days. And ever since that last time that I kind of pulled away from her after this episode happened, where I kind of just walked out of the room sad because she really filleted me like a fish. And I got to the point where I'm like, okay, that's enough, you know. And I just kind of quietly walked away. I didn't yell at her. I didn't say anything. I was very calm and quiet. But she really, really, it was very hurtful what she said. And I just kind of just walked away from it. It's not true. And her mind has all the details and the facts completely twisted. And she's thinking primarily of very selfish things. Her religion is very selfish. It puts a total focus on herself. Even though she might feel differently, she might feel that, you know, hey, I'm working on these materials to help other people. It's really not true. She still is baked in self. I've just noticed that she's been so quiet. And she doesn't smile really at all anymore. She's even being more quiet with my mom. Like normally she would carry on a decent conversation with my mom if I was out of the room or not there. And I've noticed that she's even become more quiet with my mom and at dinner time and so forth and so on. So I think she really is struggling. And to me, that's a good sign. She needs to come to a place of crisis. I'm not doing anything to try to make that happen other than to just stay away. I can't be affectionate with her at this point in time. I just cannot. And it creates more, you know, pain and curiosity, and it just prolongs the inevitable. And so it also, what I have found is how much work I have gotten done during these times where we are at odds with one another. It's remarkable how much work can be done. And that has happened. I've been getting so much work done, and I'm getting very close to the end. I mean, here I am, we're in May, and I'm talking about recordings in March. And there's not a tremendous amount of detail, I don't think, to share from this point forward. I can think of at least another half a dozen good recordings that probably need to be shared. And then that will put us at the end of me doing the work until Father acts. And then it'll become more of a real-time recorded situation, which I most likely will not share anymore until some time passes, because one of the kind of principles that I've adopted is making my requests and my troubles and spiritual attacks known only to God and not sharing them publicly until after Father has either answered the prayer or given me grace in it to stay in it. So one thing else I noticed that was a real blessing is in that recording where I'm talking about the need to die to my effort to keep her alive, to let her go Lazarus fully and die, and how I then connected that back to my own 2018 experience where I tried so hard to keep myself alive spiritually. And then I recall how perfect rest came once I gave in and let her go and let myself go. Perfect rest came when I stopped fighting. And I realize when God was showing me Ephesians 5:25, showing me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, I noticed that the highest form of love is when you can allow another person to walk away and walk into darkness. That may sound contrary to what we think, but the highest love is the prodigal father who can let his son go, who can say, here, son, have your inheritance and go. That is the highest level of love, and it's also the highest level of faith. Not what we would do is, if we were, a lot of us were the prodigal father, we would be death gripping that boy and putting him in his room, putting chains on him and telling him, you don't understand. We'd be bringing in counselors. We'd be bringing in this. We'd be bringing in that. Now, granted, this doesn't apply to young children, what I'm saying. But for somebody who's 18 or older, who has the ability to make their decision, the highest love is one where you correct, you don't control. The greatest love is not a love that controls another person. God does not control us. He corrects us, but he allows the control to remain in our position. If he's going to be in control, it's because we chose it, not because he chose it or threw it upon us. And so I've realized how much rest I've been having in my heart these last, you know, many, many weeks. I'm not sure how long it's been, but it's been a while after I had a two-week. Basically, what ended up happening, and this makes a tremendous amount of sense, that after that March, letting her go, there came a little bit of a time after that where a few more things happened. And then I get into this place of sorrow, and I'm having this like 2 weeks of real sorrow. It lasted for right about 2 weeks. And it wasn't in despair, it was just sorrow. And that's me grieving the loss of my wife, and there was nothing I could do about it. And once that was lifted, once God lifted that off of me, man, I have been in such perfect rest, not missing a lick of sleep, except for the other night I woke up at 3 something in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep, but that was not because I had any, you know, negative thoughts or crises. And so this has just been really a wonderful experience. So I let her go, grieved her loss, had the 2 weeks of sorrow, but not in despair, just subdued. Then this perfect rest has come, and I have been kept in perfect rest, which is enabling me to continue to do my work. And even though I'm living with a person who is getting worse and worse, I'm still at rest, trusting God for when he's ready to resurrect her. And I think I woke up this morning at 4:17, which is finished the work. Maybe it was yesterday morning. And I realized, yes, Lord, I am going to finish this work. And so I feel like Father wants to, he's waiting on me. You know, so I'm really excited about this. May God's name be glorified through all this. How odd that I get in the car and it's 9:39 a.m. It is May 27th on 2019. And I'm leaving Starbucks. I've been here since 6:30 this morning, and I was just able to get up all the way now through part 34 on the Apostate Bride of Christ. I basically have finished telling the story all the way up to the main part where I realize the marriage is over, my wife's love for me is dead, and so is her spiritual condition. In the last recording is where I've come to grips with that, and I'm giving up the fight, and I've apologized to Persis for trying so hard to keep her in her relationship with Christ, to keep her in love with me, and to keep her in this marriage. And then I let the final few minutes be about my confronting her and telling her how disappointed I am in her, but that I forgive her for all of this. And since that time, that was back on April 16th. It's now 40 days later. Well, isn't that interesting? Today's what, the 27th? So it's been 40 days. Today's this morning, so today doesn't even count. My goodness, it's been 40 days. That's amazing to me. I tell you, there's another... Wow. I'll have to look it up on a calendar and see how close it is, but my goodness gracious, that should be exactly 40 days ago that the marriage, in my mind, was, I finally gave in to the fact that it is dead, and my wife's love is dead. So I have just put up that recording, and then since that time, we have only spoken for about 2 days. We came back together one time where on the a certain number of days, I think after a full month, I felt like the Lord was telling me to love her, and I went and showed her my love and affection and told her you're still loved even though you've walked away from Christ and the Father, and that we still love you and we miss you. And we ended up reconnecting, and she was very affectionate and ended up being very loving towards me. And so we reconnected for about a day or two until something else happened, which I'll never share. And I walked away sad. I did not yell at all or anything. I've walked away sad. And we have not spoken since. Basically, for the last 40 days, we have had, like I say, that one day or maybe 2 days where we reconnected. But then we went right back. And I had to step back away realizing nothing has changed in my wife. In fact, she's descended into even lower regions than what I would have imagined. So we've been totally silent. Last night I asked her if she wanted anything to eat, which is kind of typical. But most of the time I'm not even doing that because she's taking care of herself. But last night I asked her if she wanted some food from outside, and she decided that she would like to have pizza. So I ordered a pizza and went and picked it up. And, you know, we sat in the kitchen and ate. I sat on one table, she sat in the other. There was no connection between us whatsoever. And I have had total peace to do that, and I've been able to continue to do my work and focus, and I'm not harboring any bitterness or any anger, or there's not been sadness in this 40 days that I've just realized has been 40 days. There was about a 2-week period that I journaled about, I think I'll share that, where I was very subdued after that 4/16 date of knowing the marriage was done. I entered into a solemn sadness, sorrow. And it was really bizarre. It lasted for about 2 weeks. I'll have to find out as best I can how long it lasted. I'm not sure I'll know exactly, but it seemed like it was around 2 weeks it lasted. And then it lifted off of me one day. And I realized that was like me grieving. It was like me finally coming to this place where I've grieved the loss of my wife. Now, as I stand today, I've grieved the loss of her. I still yet believe that she's going to be with me, though. Even though I know it's over, her love is gone, I'm still believing that God is going to resurrect her. I'm looking at circumstances and looking at a wife and a life that completely contradicts that as a possibility, but yet I continue to have the hope for God's promises, the God of the impossible, and all of those resurrection verses that he had showed me. And so that's where I'm at now. And I would expect that, God willing, something will happen soon, because I'm very close to finishing the work that Father has asked me to do. In fact, it may be finished at this point as far as he sees it. I've come to the end. We've come to the death of the marriage, the death of the love, and the death of my wife's faith in Christ. So what has happened since then has just been 40 days of almost nothingness, just enduring it, going through the sorrow, and continuing to cling silently in faith to God. So we'll see what's going to happen next. I also want to just capture, it's a completely different thought. I've been wanting to capture it, and I have from time to time, but I still feel like such a stranger in this world. When I sit at Starbucks and hear all the people and see all the people, and constantly torn between the thought of wanting to stand up and tell people, guys, don't you know there's a real Jesus Christ and a real day he's coming and a real day of judgment? Versus these people are so inundated with the scripture. I mean, the Starbucks is right across from two churches, two of the biggest ones in town, and there's the gospel everywhere here, and everybody knows about Jesus and the gospel, and everybody's heard it, and yet they just don't care, and they just want to live in their own little world. And I have such a hard time, and I feel like my friend in New Zealand, Elvin, sometimes he struggles with, he says, man, I feel like I'm looking down on people. And I understand what he feels, because it's hard not to look down on the descent and the depravity of humans who have rejected the very purpose of their creation and the love of a Father in heaven who loved them so much he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die a brutal death for them. They don't see their sin. They don't see the coming judgment. They don't see anything except for this material world and their love therein, and going to find my life. And it still is very hard for me. You know, I constantly think, Lord, I could say more, I could do more. And yet, God has not primarily called me to do this. And I remember that time I came out of my driveway. It's kind of my saving grace where I said, Lord, look at this. Here I am. I have people from around the world that would appreciate so much an opportunity to speak with me and meet with me, be willing to fly from some faraway place. And yet I have nothing for my neighbors. My neighbors can't even hear, you know, the basics of what I want to tell them. And I said, I have nothing for them. And I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, it's okay, Michael. I don't have anything for them either. They've already made their choice. And that was such a new and terrifying insight. And then that's when I felt like God was saying to me, only help the ones I send to you. See, I'm called to reach the reached. And so there's that part of me for the love of the lost that would love to be more of an evangelist. And I do occasionally when people ask or the opportunity comes up, I share, but not like I did before. It's like God allowed me to do that for 3.5 years and then he like took it away. I don't do that anymore. So, well, it's just difficult. And it's a torment to live in this world. And I'm looking forward to being free of it. There's no doubt about it.